If you're tired of one-sided conversations and mean-spirited rhetoric, it's time to listen and engage. This is The Rational Revolution, a look at today's issues through a politically purple lens. Now, here's your host, Chris Elfheim.
Welcome, everybody. It is Thursday evening, broadcasting live from Green Bay downtown. This is Chris Elfheim, The Rational Revolution. With me, my guest host, we have Mr. Alderman Dean Rash. Welcome, Dean.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here, like always.
As always. Let's talk about a couple of cool things. One, Packers are in the playoffs.
I know, because we just ate two Packer cookies. Well, actually, I ate mine and half of yours, but...
Well, yeah, it was true. And thanks for Mino and the mayor for leaving them behind. I trust that's where they came from.
They were theirs?
Everything that's laying around after they leave is
fair game. Is it really?
That's where I put it, yeah.
That's good. I would have eaten them anyway, but...
Can I just say, I'm going to publicly say, I will eat crow or whatever the answer is. Going into this season, I did not believe that Jordan Love would be our long-term solution at quarterback. I made that very clear. I strongly stated that, and I am here to say, wow, that kid has really done a heck of a job, and I'm going to say that I'm wrong.
Well, I will say that I knew we had to give him time. In the beginning of the season, though, he really was slow on the decision-making process, and it was just once he gets the speed of the game going,
yeah.
I thought he would be okay. I was predicting a 7-10 record for this year.
Yeah, I wasn't. I mean, I think record-wise, I think we ended up about where I thought we would, but I thought that Jordan would be kind of a stopover on the way to something, and I'll take it back. And, you know, again, step one in this show, what we try to do is have rational conversations. And sometimes we have to acknowledge that we may have been wrong.
Now, I can say this because my son is probably not listening to the show, but he is probably going to debate the fact that I had okay feelings about Jordan.
Were you wishy-washy? Were you in playing the gray?
Heck yeah, I was wishy-washy.
Oh, no. I was not gray. I was all out saying no. No, but, my point was, how does anybody know he's going to be the replacement considering we'd never really seen anything out of him?
Right.
And with that statement, I then said, I don't think he's the guy. And again, I am wrong.
I never said that, but I also played wishy-washy sometimes to push buttons. I don't know if you've noticed that I do that every once in a while.
You know, I think you like to find a way that you don't ever have to say you were wrong. You can just say, well, I was close and I kind of was right. Sometimes, Dean, what should we just say?
I'm not sure. Is that what you're talking about?
Would society be better if we could actually say, huh, I was wrong?
Well, you know, I will say.
And I'm okay with it.
I've been doing a lot of reading on humility. I don't get it yet.
You haven't gotten past the introduction?
The opening. I've got the author's like preface. I'm still reading about the author.
I like to be right too. Ask anybody that knows me, and I often am. But when you're wrong, you're wrong, and you should own it. And I was wrong, and I wish nothing but love for Jordan and the team. That's right.
I think we have a good shot this week, actually, this weekend.
I think that anybody in the NFC has a shot. No one is so much better than anybody else.
Right.
We've got some confidence. We've got some continuity going on both sides of the ball. So I would not be surprised. I'll be rooting for them. I'll be cheering for them. If they don't make it any further, I will still consider it have been a good season.
I will. The one thing I am 100% definitely positive about is we need to get rid of our defensive coordinator. Now, this show doesn't talk football, but I will say the past couple of weeks have been great, but it's not a Joe Barry style of defense that he's been playing.
Yeah,
he's got to go.
I'm not going to claim to be an expert on that. I will say that performance on the field matters also. So
correct.
We have to be careful on blaming all one thing. A system can be, you know, perfect, but if nobody does their job, it doesn't matter.
It's coaching. Yeah. Leadership. Everything goes back to leadership.
Anyway, all right. This
was
is why we don't
topic?
Do a sports show.
Was this our topic
No.
tonight?
So the point of that was the Packers are in the playoff. Yay. Another thing that's changed. We have snow on the ground. Can you believe it? It's January, and we finally have a little bit of snow layer. Now, was it Snowmageddon? I would say no. I think it was a little disappointing on that, but I do not blame the businesses and the churches and the school boards, and everybody has to figure out what to do to keep everybody safe. And I know there was a lot of flack down in Appleton for school being closed. But I think that Greg Harches, who is a superintendent down the superintendent of Appleton, I think he did a great job of saying, listen, it's not about how much snow there is when it starts, or when it has to do with when they're trying to get everybody home, mm-hmm. and then what the situation is, because now you're involving not just the kids, but the school drivers, the city buses, the sidewalks being shoveled or not. So there's just more to it. I know that it throws a wrench into everyone's schedule when it happens, which honestly I think is the biggest driving force. But in the end, everybody wants their kids to be safe.
I agree with that. I joke sometimes that every once in a while, I think there's some special training that happens to overly excite the population about the upcoming snowfall. And of course, that's just me joking that there's no serious, like, so I can't be right or wrong on this one because it's just joking.
You're so bad.
But, you know, we get so hyped up about, you know, 17 feet of snow coming in the next hour and we get a powder, you know.
So. I did years and years and years ago. I don't know if I saw or something, but there was something on the Dopplers on how, in essence, all of them were turned up. So the colors were darker. Everything was just meaner. You know, it could be a little squall coming through, like, oh, the weather.
That's awesome.
We need ratings. I mean, emergency, alert, alert. By the way, this is a little off topic. We're kind of rambling in our first segment here. But
we are.
I've got just enough ADD to be driven insane or perfectly satisfied by TV channels and the scrolling information. It's somewhere between satisfying and going over the top, especially like ESPN. There's a ticker on the top. There's a ticker on the bottom. There, and then there's a weather ticker above the ticker.
And there's a side.
And then there's
a
scoreboard. And there's a timer. And then there's another camera. I'm like, good Lord. What, you know, pretty soon the screen's going to be the size of a computer screen. We can't even see the play.
Well, that's because we're such short attention spans. My son was just demonstrating this tonight.
No, this is the ADD part of me. I will read the scroller every ADD time it goes through. Every time. And then if it's ESPN, like the only thing I really want to know maybe is an NFL thing, or maybe it's college volleyball, right?
But I
miss it every single time. I see every word except
what you're looking for.
What I'm looking for, and then it goes to a commercial break.
Now, this could be a really bad segue, but are there lines separating those sections of the TV screen?
Yeah, because they're all color blocked. Why?
He seems so disappointed in that question.
That is a doubt. I don't know. Everything. Yeah. I don't know what that means.
I don't know. We're just talking lines, that's all.
I don't know. I'm just saying it's a little bit strange to me. But that's another example of, you know, our media, our marketing, trying to satisfy what we need, which is a little bit of everything, because heaven forbid we change the channel. Nobody would want you to change the channel, so they're just going to keep everything riveting. Everything is riveting. Breaking news. Breaking news. Did you hear there was a earthquake? There's an earthquake?
Just north of us. 2.3 on the Richter scale. This goes back to the one they had in Clintonville a number of years back when somebody showed a lawn chair tipped over.
I don't know. I didn't read up on it. I'm not a scientist. So there's nothing here of value that I'm saying, but wow.
And I'll just say I was through an earthquake one time and never noticed a thing until I woke up in the morning and my bed had shifted over about 6 feet. I was in Greece at the time.
Ooh.
Never even knew we had an earthquake. I slept right through it.
I was in one in San Diego and a big conference. I think there were about 3,000 of us there. And I don't know where it was. Anyway, big conference. And I'm sitting there. We're about, I don't know, 5 minutes to get back to the stage, wherever the presenter was. And I'm looking at my phone. And all of a sudden, it sounded like the caterers had dropped a truckload of food. I mean, it was just the biggest rumbling boom that I'd ever heard. And I thought, that's weird. And it kind of rolled the floor. Anyway, 5 minutes later, I'm looking at my phone, 5-point whatever earthquake. So I've been through an earthquake. It was fun.
Yeah. I didn't have any excitement with mine because I was sound asleep. It probably rocked me to sleep even deeper. Who knows?
All right. So we are coming into our first break not too far from now. But tonight, we're going to take a little bit of feedback here. If you are live on the air or if you are on the Civic Media app, which I hope you are, the Civic Media app, text us in if you want us to answer some questions. Otherwise, we're going to go down a rabbit hole.
Already in a rabbit hole.
Well, I know, this is kind of a rambling hole. But we're going to go down a rambling hole of a patriotism. We're just going to take that where it leads us. Patriotism in today's society and where we've been. And just, you know, talk about the fact that I think that, I mean, you can just use the flag as an example. What does the flag mean to you? The United States flag. What does that flag mean to you? I'm asking you.
You ask me right now?
Yeah.
We are 3 minutes away from our break, so time. I guess I got time. You know, it to me, it's the flag to me just is a symbol of freedom. But at the end of the day, it's also, it represents all those people that fought for that freedom.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's specific, and I couldn't tell you that, I mean, the stars obviously are the states, but the blue and the red and the white. But there's meaning to that. And I think my belief in what that flag symbolizes is stronger because of conversations I've had with veterans in the past.
Okay.
And they look to that flag a whole lot different.
No question.
Than most people do. And I take that very seriously because they volunteered many of them did, not all of them, but many of them did, to put their life on the line for our country. Mm-hmm. And that flag represents that to them. And it represents their buddies that, didn't make it back.
I get that. I respect that tremendously. I have many, many relatives that have served loyally, and mm-hmm. it's a beautiful thing. But that is one's opinion of the flag, right? So as a member of the armed forces, you may see that flag from a different view, right? But in the end, what does the flag truly represent? Was the flag created to represent the military?
No, it was I think it was meant to represent us as a people, as a country.
Right.
It's all of us representative, the 13 original colonies and the stripes.
Right.
And then the 50 states. We are one nation. And I think that's what the flag helps to represent. It means to us.
And I think that's kind of going to be the basis of the conversation. The flag was not created for one type of people in the United States. It wasn't made for military. It wasn't made for single white females, right? No. It was made to represent the strength of all of us. Mm-hmm. So we're going to take that and head down a conversation. Again, join us. We are rambling about patriotism, might slide into the conversation of nationalism just because it's there. This is Chris Alfheim. I am here with Dean Rash on Thursday nights. We're talking patriotism. Come on back after the break.
Got to be a joker. He just do what I please.
With me, we are talking about patriotism. Now, I bring that up because I believe, you know, in the political world, or at least in reality around politics, there have been there's a meanness to it, right? There's a meanness to politics right now, and there has been now for a number of years. And often we talk about what can we do to get back to the way it used to be. And we're trying, right, with this mm-hmm. show. Our goal is to have conversations about topics that might, in some cases, have some conflict, and just show that it can be done, and try and help understand a different side of things. But I think it's fair to say that the American flag has kind of been almost captured by one side, just judging by the marketing. Right, the marketing. There's flags on the back. If you see a big old pickup truck, and I know many that have them, but you have a big old pickup truck, and there'll be a flag next to a machine gun, next to a what? Let's go, Brandon.
Well, my pickup truck has a flag with an eagle and the word freedom written across it.
Okay, and what is all right? All right. Now, I think freedom is fair, right? You mentioned freedom in the flag, but, you know, again, now in a political state and a political portion of this, freedom for whom?
Freedom.
Freedom for whom?
Freedom for all of us.
Really?
I think so.
Do you, though?
Yeah. I wouldn't say that if I didn't.
All right, but
look at, you're making my voice squeak a little bit.
Well, that's good. That's good. But you know my point.
I do.
My point is that I believe that the term patriot mm-hmm. has been hijacked. And I think those in our world, if you have someone who doesn't have share the same belief that you do, then they're not a patriot. And I think that's where things have gone wrong.
See, and I can see where you're going with that. I'll give you some credit a little bit. But I also think that you can be a patriot. So obviously I'm on the right, you're on the left. You can be a patriot and be on the left. You can still love your country and be a patriot and look to do things to make your country better. Mm-hmm. That's still a patriot. But I think what's happened is, to your point, we've gotten so polarized with so many of the things we talk about in this country.
Yeah.
You know, somebody says the sky is blue and somebody just argues it's green just for the sake of arguing it's green.
Yeah.
And so you can be a patriot on both sides. And you know, I have friends that are Democrats and vote Democratic. I think you're probably one of those and you're a friend. But I don't see you as not patriotic. Right. I see you as loving your country and caring. You want to make it better somehow. What do we do to make that right. better?
And I think that what you're sharing is what a moderate would think, right? A moderate, whether they be on the side of red or blue, they've got a little bit of a purple edge to them. In essence, there's some humility with that. So we may disagree, but we believe we're good people in the end, right?
Well, I think we're all good people in the end.
No, not all of us are good people. Let's just be honest. There are people out there that wish harm. I think it's okay to say that out loud. Fair. And that's on both sides.
That's fair.
But it's always a small percentage. Mm-hmm. And yet that small percentage of people wield a lot of noise, right?
And I think that's part of the problem is somehow they get the microphone or the TV camera and they make a lot of noise and the media goes for it because that's ratings.
You know, and then is noise always bad?
No,
it's not. And we don't get the attention of any issue without some level of noise. So then if the noise that someone is making, so this is almost a protester kind of thing, mm-hmm. if the noise somebody is making, if what they're doing is what they believe to be for in the best interest of our country, but it's contrary to what the general public thinks, are they still a patriot?
If it's for the country, yes, in my opinion. However, I think what's going on is the noise many times is coming for things that affect me versus things that benefit us as a country. And I think that's where this is getting a little bit twisted. You know, watching some videos the other day and just, you know, somebody's giving a counterpoint and the person's just screaming in their face, not saying anything, but just screaming.
Yeah.
And the other person is talking quietly, softly, calmly, whatever it might be. And the other person says, you can't say that here. And then just screams at him. What's the gain? What are you trying to benefit society and the country for with that? That's not doing anything for anybody.
The thing is that I think that freedom, the word freedom, which I think is a great word mm-hmm. to describe the flag, right? And in patriotism, the whole country was founded under the concept of freedom. Mm-hmm. So I think that's a great word to use. Then the question is freedom for whom? The question
freedom
is
for all of us.
Freedom for me, freedom for you, freedom to do what? And if we believe in that, if we can share that thought process of freedom is the basis of our country, mm-hmm. then why are we incapable of saying, okay, you like this freedom, but you don't want me to have that freedom? That I think the two-sided opinion or the, what's the right word? The hypocritical look at that says I should have the freedom to do whatever I want, but I don't like that. So you can't do that. That's where I get challenged.
Yeah.
Right.
And I agree with you.
Annoyed.
I guess my question first popped into my head when you made that statement is give me an example of a freedom that somebody would ask for, but somebody else would say, no, I don't want to do that.
Oh, sure. I can, an easy one. A Muslim American, mm-hmm. right? A Muslim American born and raised, It's a culture. Maybe they move into a community that does not have a large population, mm-hmm. right? In the rest of the world, it's a huge religion. Up here in Wisconsin, not so much. And all of a sudden, the conversation has to do with, you know, profiling, or we don't like these people, or we don't like those people. You know, where is the ability for that person? Where is the freedom of that person to be comfortable in their own skin? Again, we tend to look at things as comfortable or right through our own eyes. Mm-hmm. But if we look through someone else's eyes, are we actually giving the same freedoms or the ability to gain those freedoms as we see for ourselves?
See, I think the freedom is still there. I think what it is, it's the bigotry of the people that don't know any better. And I don't know that takes freedom away, because the person still has the ability to live their life free, live it their way, how they want to pray, how they want to do those types of things. And I've had the ability to work with Muslims in the past where we did provide them prayer time, for example,
yeah.
you know, and they had the ability to do that. And there's no judgment on them, at least from my side of it, there's not, but I know there's people out there that just don't understand. And so they pass judgment. I don't know that limits their freedom. I think that's just the bigotry that we live with in this world. That's not going away anytime soon.
And the conversation isn't meant to be specifically about Muslim, but I think right. the conversation is if it's different than you, mm-hmm. if the patterns and the cultures that someone identifies with as being whole as a person, if in order for them to respect their own traditions, they are non-traditional around us, then are we actually, as a society, allowing them to do that without ridicule? We're going to come back on that.
I need a break to think about
Yeah, you
that
think
one.
That through, because Bobby McGee's on and I just can't go anywhere without listening to her.
Okay.
Bobby McGee's on, coming back, Rational Revolution on Thursday night. See you on the other side.
You know it's going to be all right. All right. All right.
If you'd like to join the Rational Revolution and engage, download the Civic Media app wherever you get your apps. Choose your station, WGBW or WISS, and click on the text button in the lower right-hand corner. Looking at today's issues through a politically purple lens, this is the Rational Revolution. And once again, here's Chris Elfheim.
Welcome back to the Rational Revolution, where I, for the second time, am wrong today. First, I did the whole Jordan Love thing. I acknowledge I was wrong. And second, I thought I heard Bobby McGee in my ear. Perhaps this just muscle memory, but that was not Bobby McGee.
Are you sure?
Conrad, you're shaking it up on me. I don't know what you're doing.
Sorry.
I'm getting into a rhythm over here. Anyway, we're back. All right, so Dean and I are here. Again, our whole goal is just to have conversation about issues that may be difficult to have around, you know, having a beer with somebody that might have differing opinions, and just kind of trying to show that we can have a conversation and learn something from that. So tonight, what we've been talking about is patriotism. And the flag, and in some ways how I feel the term and the symbol have been weaponized a little bit, or at least used to the point where they seem to be representing one side more than the other, and I don't think that's right. I think that's part of the problem.
Well, and I had a thought, it slipped, and now it's coming back slowly. But I think part of that, maybe where you're seeing that disconnect or that discord where somebody, you feel that somebody's hijacked it or one group is hijacked it, I think it's because there's another group that is basically saying they think the flag is a racist symbol. They think the flag is a, you know, it means hate. And I think some people have taken it to that extreme as well, which we've seen.
I think that's a little extreme. I think those exact statements, you could say that on the Confederate flag.
Well, that's a different conversation.
Right.
But I think on the American flag, there have been many people that have said, this represents hate, it represents racism.
Okay, so let's throw those into the 10% on the edges. Fair enough.
Sure. And then
okay.
10% on the other side,
sure, sure.
too, of hijacking.
Sure, sure.
So
we always acknowledge there's always 10% that are out there.
Forget about those knuckleheads and let's talk about the 80%.
Okay. So the 80%, I think that it is fair to say that the people who embrace the flag and the actions of the United States, both past and present, unilaterally as all for good, I think that is an issue. And I think that there are people in today's world, as the job of historians are to uncover history. Mm-hmm. And it isn't told once. The historians go back over and over and over to gather the facts from a different viewpoint. And I think that people today think that there's, you know, half the people on the planet are mad. They're mad at everything the United States ever do, and they're stuck in that. That does not imply a lack of patriotism. And I think that's kind of where I get confused on this. I maybe, you know, this whole conversation of woke, which I still challenge that 40% of the population still doesn't really know what that means. But the concept of being willing to say, I'm not necessarily proud of all of our past actions, is that not being a patriot?
I don't know anybody, and I, of course, I'm making a really broad statement.
Yeah, yeah.
For myself, I believe we're an imperfect nation, and we always have been. But I think at the end of the day, even though we've always been an imperfect nation, the majority of us, that 80% we're talking about, is looking to figure out how do we make it better.
I agree with that.
So I give that kind of benefit. But I'll also say, if we look back from a history standpoint, I obviously have a very different view of history than you might, only because half of my family is Native American.
Sure.
My dad's side, my mom's side is not.
Sure.
You know, and there's been a little disconnect every once in a while in there as well. But I have a different view of what history looks like.
Yeah. Do you find that in your circles, when you have conversations, that there's a faction of people around you that get irritated, that get angry anytime somebody brings up a question of historical choices? They get mad, like, well, it's the past. We shouldn't have to worry about it anymore. Don't hold that against me. I didn't do it. Do you ever run into that? Really?
I don't. Never. I really don't.
You don't ever meet anybody on the face crack that says, why are we talking about this? Why this that happened ages ago?
I've blocked all those people.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean,
so you're living in a bubble.
Well, I like bubbles. But I think that, you know, you can either engage that or you can just let those people have their opinion and walk away. Because, which I'm getting better at, which I used to engage in that quite a bit. But over the past, I would say, 5 years, I've stepped aside from that. But there are people that they are hell-bent on proving everybody else wrong versus listening and having a conversation like we do.
Okay.
And I think that's where it gets ugly and it gets tough to have those conversations.
All right. But I think that you have to then, with that frame of mind, you then have to layer that back on, and then what? So if you're saying that by and large, most people are aware of historical wrongs that have been done, right? If that's what you're saying, then why aren't more people acknowledging that history, those wrongs, are actually pretty recent? I mean, we're talking, whether it's 40 years or it's 4 years or it's 4 months, there are still injustices that are going on or that just took place within a generation or two. And if we then can acknowledge that, then don't we have to kind of move forward together? And isn't that the patriotic thing to do to fix it?
But it is. But your context of what you're saying is pretty vague for me right now. So I mean, there's a few things that popped into my head.
Sure.
You know, I know one of the things that's been tossed around more so out on the West Coast is reparations.
Okay.
So do we need to pay reparations?
First, let's just be clear. You and I are sitting here as middle American white people. So we probably should put that in context, that we have no flipping cute clue what we're talking about.
Well, not exactly, because I have a Native American heritage.
I'll give it to you.
But what I will say, and the great argument that I heard recently, which was, so we pay reparations to who, right? But then do we also pay reparations to other groups that have been marginalized in our country? Which could include the Japanese during World War II. It could include the Irish, you know, at the very start of our country. It could be the Chinese who came over here at one point as well and started, you know, immigrating to this country. So where does that process stop? Do we do it for the Native Americans? Exactly. Do you list it for everybody then?
So you just listed it for everybody except for African Americans?
No, the African Americans was the first group.
Oh, okay.
Right. So that's the first one. That's the one that's always talked about. But then Candace Owens, who most people know as an African American conservative speaker, and she said, well, where do we stop? Do we then... She's the one that said, do we do the Japanese, the Irish?
I hear you. And
everybody's
had
a bad past at
some
point.
I think that, you know, reparations, again, here we are, two white people talking about this, but I think that reparations are it's a conversation that we understand, but you can't understand why there would be discussion about it until you actually acknowledge that there was a pointed effort of keeping people down for decades, if not centuries. And I think that part of us moving forward together in a shared vision has to come from acknowledging that wrongs have been done, and the wrongs that may have started 600 years ago, that's one level of wrong, but it kept on going for hundreds and hundreds of years. And still, in terms of redlining, in terms of where our infrastructure, urban modernization, where all of that went, smacked complete classes of people from up-and-coming, beautiful family neighborhoods to you're all homeless, figure it out.
Right.
We have ripped... I guess I have a problem when people stand on the notion of the American flag, the stance for liberty, this is who I am, I'm so much this or that. Meanwhile, a massive population, massive proportion of our population has literally had a foot on their neck for decades. And we can't even come to the conversation about, hey, sure. You know, maybe that flag, that freedom has been more in my favor and I may not have been the cause of it, but I can understand and I'm willing to say we got to do something to make it better. I don't like when people want to stand there and say everything, you know, don't take the, if you live in the South, you know, don't take down a Southern statue because, you know, this and that. It's my great grandfather. Well, we have to acknowledge that maybe not everything we did was right, and there is a running effect that has been going on for centuries or decades at least.
And can I say that's okay? That's okay to leave that statue there? Because what we do now is we try to erase history, and when we erase history, we forget about it. And so we recreate it. So I'd rather us see history as it is and accept that we are not a perfect nation. We never have been. And to be very aware of some of the things we did that screwed up. You know, let's look at Andrew Jackson, president.
Yeah, I get it. I think
extremely, extremely racist and extremely detrimental to the Native American population.
Yep.
Yet he's still on the $20 bill.
Yeah. No, it's valid. It's valid. And I think that there's a difference between, you know, glorification and history. I think that it would be wrong to remove everything. However, as someone who was not generationally affected by it, I don't think I should be the one having that conversation. But I do think that taking everything away takes away the conversation.
Mm-hmm.
And in some cases, I think we are better off being able to go in and learn both sides of a conversation to be fully educated, as opposed to assuming he was a great person or assuming that he was horrible.
Mm-hmm.
Both may be true.
There may be,
and again, based on who you are in your eyes, and can we help see from each other's eyes where that would be an opposite opinion?
Yeah.
It can you be a patriot and question decisions in this country?
Yes.
Yeah.
When we have to.
I think you're not a patriot unless you do.
I agree with that. I think it has, but again, it has to be in that context of what is best for everybody in this country.
Right.
And I get frustrated sometimes because we, a lot of times it feels like we're attempting to pick winners and losers. We want everybody to be a special group and we want to separate and we want to, you know, we're going backwards in some of the.
That's easy to say when you're in the biggest group.
But it's not.
Because we are
going backwards because we're dividing people more today than we ever did in the past.
Again, that's really easy to say when you've been in the majority position the entire time. And I say this as both of us. Mm-hmm. And you and I both can say that we have an edge that puts us in a different group, so be it. But no, we grew up in a comfortable middle America, white feel type situation. Mm-hmm. So
I didn't. That's okay.
Okay. I grew up in the middle of nowhere on a farm. We had no money. I mean, I get it. I'm not saying we had silver spoons.
Right.
But still, we were not... There are people that had it far, 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 far Absolutely. Worse than us.
And there always will be. And there will always be people that are better. But how do we get all those people to change?
The only way that we can have what you're describing, which is we shouldn't have all these small fires. So in essence, if I understand you correctly, we're saying we shouldn't have the Rainbow Brigade shouldn't be this. The African-American shouldn't be that. The Native American shouldn't be that. We should just be one happy family and move forward.
Well, I'm not saying that. I want people to represent themselves,
okay.
And I want them to be true to their culture. I want them to be true to who they are. But as a government, our government should not be picking and choosing winners and losers. And I think that was kind of more of my context of it. We tend to, you know, we're making laws and ordinances locally to benefit certain groups over others. No.
The Constitution was written, and I mean, you find the rule that says that all men were created equal in that Constitution.
It's in the very first couple of...
Except unless you're who?
It doesn't say that.
Not unless you're a woman, unless you're a person of color.
No, doesn't say that.
Oh, come on.
Doesn't say that anywhere in there.
Hmm. Well, that's right. They weren't mentioned.
Right.
The women just weren't mentioned.
And men weren't mentioned separately either as white males.
Oh, I did have a question. Hey, now, can you hear anything in your ear? Conrad, if you were suckering me on this, I swear to God, your Jordan shirt is just going to get trashed. This is Chris Alfheim. We are talking about just the world and politics and patriotism here on the Rational Revolution. Come on back on the backside of the break.
Time I was holding Bobby's hand in mine. We sang every song that Javi knew. Freedom is just another word for nothing left to lose. Nothing. I mean nothing, honey, if it ain't free.
Welcome back to the Rational Revolution, where we are talking all things kind of history and patriotism, maybe a little touching on nationalism. Jim and Appleton, our friend, just sent in a text, which you are welcome to as well via the line or the app. But he said, as an American, I resent that the group on the far right has apparently hijacked my flag and said that if I don't believe exactly what they believe, I'm not an American and should leave the country. Now, just reading that about 20 seconds ago, Dean's blood pressure went up.
Not much.
But it did.
It did.
Okay, so first, I'll let you tell me why it went up.
So when I read this, and to me, I look at it and I go, okay, first of all, what makes you think it was hijacked? Who told you it was hijacked? Who told you have to leave the country? Who told you if you don't believe exactly what they believe? So there's a lot of assumptions being made.
Hold on, Jim, don't respond to that. Your thumbs would go nuts. So just breathe it in, answer.
Yeah, these are just questions that I'm asking on this. And I think sometimes and Jim, I know you called me a gentleman before, and I'm going to try to maintain that relationship that we have over the text messaging and the radio show. But it seems like it's reaching for something. You know, where's that interaction been with some ultra far right person who I don't see eye to eye with many ultra far right people myself, but where is that interaction had personally with you that would have told you those types of things?
All right. So I'm going to say a couple of things. One, Jim's not alone in the feeling that that's happening. And again, you could blame it on the dudes driving down College Avenue with the flags on the bumper and the Let's Go Biden, and as they shout out the window something horrific. You could go by social media. What I would say to a number of people, the loudest of the MAGA-style conservative, mm-hmm. and I will say that specifically because there are plenty of rational conservatives out there, but the MAGA-style conservative is vocal in not appreciating the rights of the LGBT community, of not acknowledging the challenges, the reality challenges of history and what has been done for or against different parts of the people. They are not in favor of immigration and people of a different color in many cases. There's a lot of reasons that someone can say, I don't, if that guy is waving the American flag and he doesn't like who I am as a person, that means he's saying I'm not an American. Mm-hmm. So are you, that's where it turns into
how
nationalism.
How do you know he's saying that?
Oh, well, I've the words that have come out of people's mouths. I mean, stand on a corner. It's crazy.
I don't stand on corners.
Well, maybe you should, because there's a reality out there that if you are, again, if you're living in a suburban white picket fence and you think that everything looks like your backyard, you're wrong. Go stand someplace else.
And I have.
Because then you know.
Yeah.
So my point is that Jim's not wrong in the sentiment that the flag, that many people feel the flag has been hijacked. Now, what's the solution?
What we talked about. We didn't come up with a solution
right.
yet.
So here's my solution, because I cannot make it illegal for obnoxious people to be obnoxious.
On both right? sides, right?
Yes, yeah. True. I cannot do that. But what I can say is if you feel that the American flag has been hijacked, the only way to get rid of pollution is to dilute it, mm-hmm. right? So what I mean by that is go get a flag. Go get three flags.
Put them up.
Because the only way you're going to let that guy or person who is truly a nationalist and not a patriot, mm-hmm. by definition, the only way that you're going to wash away the effect of a nationalist is to embrace the symbol that you think they are hijacking and yeah. claim it back. So back to your point on the isolating the different groups, mm-hmm. I would challenge if you are going to proudly hang a rainbow flag, which you have a right to do and I love you for it, hang an American flag too. Mm-hmm. Hang them both. If you are a, what's the one? Whatever your passion is, if there's a flag that you want to represent, put it up with an American flag, yeah. because you have a right and, in my opinion, I mean, a need to be the voice of an American, yeah. which may differ from somebody else, but it doesn't make you any less one.
And I think that's a perfect example of a way to do that, because you can be a patriot and not necessarily believe ultra-right conservatism, right? Like I said, I don't believe ultra-right conservatism on some of the topics they talk about. I'm a conservative, always have been, but I also love the flag, appreciate what it represents, but I don't have a problem with a person who puts up the American flag and a rainbow flag, or the American flag and
Black Lives Matter flag.
You're representing your country and you're looking for ways to make things better.
Yeah.
Now, do I agree with everything that happens on the Black Lives Matter movement? No. Do I have concerns about it? Yes. Because again, to me, that's separating groups. But I think at the end of the day, you still should be able to be a patriot and have those types of beliefs. I don't know that those people...
It isn't you should be able to. You are. You are still one.
You are.
And I think that anybody that says otherwise, they're the ones with the issue.
But this is where we have to have the conversations again and not just try to scream people down.
I agree.
And that's where I think the disconnect comes from many times.
Yeah. We got 2 minutes here. Simple answer for where. That's just Jim. I told you, Jim, don't respond. Anyway, I think it's important to hear the difference and have a conversation. And when you hear somebody say this is the only way that something should be felt or done, that's probably wrong, right?
And it's selfish is what it is.
And if the only freedom that you are passionate for is your own or for those who look, feel, live like you do, that's wrong too. Says this conversation gave me a headache. That might be Carrie Ann.
Oh. It's possible it could have given us headaches too. Who knows?
But I think it's true. We have to realize that being good to our country means challenging it. Mm-hmm. It means embracing who we are for the good and for our flaws. And if we can share a vision that we want things to go the right way, then learn, acknowledge that we might be wrong, and push forward to continue to communicate and make it better.
Again, we've always been an imperfect nation. We'll continue to be an imperfect nation, but the goal is to have us all on the same page with different viewpoints, different ideas, attempting to row in the same direction to make us better.
Yeah.
Amen. Conservative and liberal side of it.
That's all we can do. Keep being better people. Listen, this is the end of our night tonight, Rational Revolution. We enjoy having you here. Hope you enjoyed the conversation. I appreciate, Dean, you being here again tonight. We'll be
Thank
back
you.
Next week. Be careful for Snowmageddon 2.
3.
3. We'll hope we get more than 4 inches. All right, you guys. See you next week. Bye.